Good morning, brother and sister. So we have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you're going to quiet our heart. Because in quietness and in trust is our strength. When we come to you, we not only want to receive salvation from you, we want to receive power and strength from you. So that we not only be able to know your will and to do it, and we want to get blessing from you and help your servant to explain your word clearly and so that we all receive the same kind of blessing. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Being able to be saved by God is by grace through faith. Just like the churches in Macedonia, being able to give, not only to give to the Lord, according to the will of God, and also to give to the preacher. And now they pleaded with Paul, Titus, and Timothy that they have the opportunity to share. It's a privilege for them to share in this service to the saint in Jerusalem. It's all by grace. And when we give, we know that we give to the Lord. And when we give to the pastor. And when we give it to the brother and sister. And as you know, in the Gospel of John chapter 13, when God sent his servant to preach to you, and you receive his teaching, you are not just receiving him, you are receiving the teaching of Jesus Christ. 13, right beside 13:20, Gospel of John, you write to it's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. I read 13:20 to you, Gospel of John. I tell you the truth. Whoever accept anyone I sent, accept me. Whoever accept me, accept the one who sent me. And the church of Macedonian, and they have great faith. And chapter 8, verse 5, they did not do as we expected. What they are doing exceed the expectation of the pastor. But they gave themselves first to the Lord. I want you to write that down. First to the Lord. You realize that when you give to the Lord. You say, Lord, because I listen to you, I give it to you. And when you are in need, you can cry out to him. I did things that pleases you, and I pray that you answer my prayer to meet my need. And I think Paul saying the same thing, especially to the church in Philippians. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. When they give it to the poor, when they give the offering to Paul to support his short-term mission, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and God say, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. When you give to the Lord and you give to the pastor, in verse 18, chapter 4, in Philippians, that's the church of Macedonia. But remember that 2 Corinthians was written first. Philippians was written later, a lot later, before Paul passed away. And Paul write that down to remind them that when you do it to Paul, you do it to the Lord. chapter 4, verse 18, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphras the gift you sent. They not only give it to the Lord, they give it to Paul. And they, your offering, they are a fragrance of, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. I want you to circle the word. This kind of offering to Paul to support his ministry is a fragrant offering. When God can smell that fragrant offering, and God will bless you. Circle the number one. Secondly, acceptable sacrifice. Some people did things is not acceptable to God, but their action is acceptable to God. And thirdly, some people do things pleasing himself, but Paul said that what you have been doing, pleasing to God. You know, these Bible verses, I want you to memorize it. Because do you a lot of good, especially those who give to the Lord first, and then give it to Paul, and finally, give it to the saint in Jerusalem. You say, Lord, what I have done is a fragrant offering, pleasing not to me, but pleasing you. According to 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, if I realize that what I did pleases you, and I have the confidence when I approach you in prayer, I know you're going to hear my prayer. I want you to learn this when you pray to God. Don't just ask God for mercy. You tell him, the thing that you tell me to do, I did it. Is fragrant to you, acceptable to you, and pleasing to you. And I pray, O Lord, that you hear my prayer, fulfill the desire of my heart. You know what? If it's given by Paul, for sure I believe it works. If it's given by David, and I know it worked too. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 20. Listen to what King David said to his children. Psalm 20, verse 1. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. We don't know when will we face distress and calamity. But one thing we do know, the Lord will answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary. From the sanctuary, because your offering is fragrant to the Lord. It rises up to his sanctuary. Acceptable to the Lord and pleasing to the Lord. And then grant you support from Zion. There's only one God who is a true God who live in Zion, who live within our heart. And his throne is in heaven. Verse 3, may he remember all your sacrifices. I want you to write that down, sacrifices, especially those of fragrant sacrifices and acceptable sacrifices, and is pleasing to God. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offering. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We all need that kind of blessing because we don't know when we're going to face the distress. We want to make sure God hear our prayer. Verse 5. We will shout for joy when you are victorious. And we will lift up our banner in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Circle that word. All your request. When the Lord spoke to you, you hear and you do it. And He's going to hear your prayer. He's going to bless you. Now, King David said, now I know the Lord saved His anointed. He answered him from His holy heaven with the saving power of His right hand. Some trust in chariot, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And they are brought to their knee and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save us. O King, answer us when we call. We know for sure if what I have done is a fragrant offering to the Lord, acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, and pleasing God, and I'm going to pray exactly what Paul prayed for the church in Macedonia in chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your need and fulfill the desire of your heart according to God's glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You know, all these Bible verses become powerful and effective when you do exactly what the Lord tells you to do. Go back to 2 Corinthians. And Paul, using the example of the church in Macedonia, to encourage the saint in Corinth, using the example of Macedonian churches to encourage the saint in Corinth. And in verse 5, Paul said, they did not do as we expected. It exceed our expectation. And God will provide them exceed their expectation too. Because they gave themselves first to the Lord. I want you to write that down. Number one, realize that when you give to the Lord. You don't realize that you give to the Lord, you won't give. Right beside give to the Lord, I want you to circle that give to the Lord, and you write down Romans. The more you have Bible verses in your heart, the more powerful, effective is your prayer. Romans chapter 11, verse 35. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? When you realize whatever you do to the Lord. The reason why we do to the Lord, because He did it to me first. You have to remember that. No one can ever say to God, I am the one who gave you first. You have to pay me back. You give me first. I acknowledge it. I want to respond to your blessing. I want to get more blessing. According to John, chapter 1, verse 16, from the fullness of His grace. We all have received one blessing after another. We don't want to be a prodigal son. We see one blessing and run away from God. And then face distress, calamity, and problem. We want to receive one blessing after another. Whatever you say, I hear that, I understand it, I do it. First to the Lord, then to the preacher, then to the saint. When you do it to the saint, just like the saint in Macedonian churches did it to the saint in Corinth, and also did it to the, not the Corinth, to the saint in Jerusalem. I want you to write that down. Matthew chapter 25. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. See what kind of blessing you will receive from God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, is the one that who is obedient to what the Lord commanded to them to do. Come, And you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger and you invited me in. And I need clothes and you clothed me. And I was sick and you looked after me. And I was in prison. You came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer the king, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, and needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king replied, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of this brother of mine, you did it to me. This is not the first time Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 10. If this is a precious promise, Jesus will say it numerous times because we are absent-minded all the time. We are forgetful of what God has promised to us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He who received you, because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, received me. He who received me received the one who sent me. Anyone who received a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who received a righteous man, because he is a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. Verse 42. If anyone give even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Right beside here, from 14 to 42, verse 40 to 42, you write down Matthew chapter 25, 34, all the way to 40. Remember that. Remember what God promised you. And Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, no matter how many promises God has made to you, they are all yes. When you pray, you can say amen to the glory of God. Why we give glory to God? Because he answered your prayer. When he answered your prayer, you give thanks to him, you give glory to him. Go back. There's another principle for giving. First of all, give to the Lord. Secondly, give to the messenger that's sent by Jesus. And thirdly, give to the least of the brothers of Jesus. You did it. You did it for Jesus. And you will be richly rewarded. And then another principle. In verse 7. Just as you excel in everything, excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in these gifts, in this grace of giving. If you can do all other things, and Paul encouraged them, you can do this. And because for your own good. All right? That's how you encourage other people. You know, if a person has never been able to done this, to be successful in anything, he won't be successful in everything. And I was very much discouraged. I hear the conversation of the brother and sister saying that he saying, my son always say to me, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, you know? And I say to them, make sure that next time when I go to New York, Make the appointment. I want to see your son. Listen to me carefully. 7 times. In chapter 2 to chapter 3. In the book of Revelation. And God said to the overcomer, make sure that we are overcomer. We are not a loser. We give all kind of excuses. I can't do this, I can't do that, right? Don't say that. You can do it. It's a matter of whether you want to do it or not. All right? That's the principle of serving, principle of giving. Verse 8. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing your love with the earnestness of others. Paul demonstrated the love of the saint in Macedonian church. Now Paul wants the saint in Corinth to show their love that match the love of the brother and sister in the church of Corinth. So that's why Paul said, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love to see that how genuine it is. If you say you love other people right beside sincerity of your love, I want to use John's word in 1 John. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brothers. If anyone has material possession and see his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with word or tongue alone, but with action and truth. Write that down, right beside. Not with word or tongue, but with action and in truth. That is how we prove ourselves, the sincerity of our love. Prove it with your action. And that kind of love is a genuine love. Verse 18 again. Dear children, let us not love with word or tongue, but with action and in truth. This then is how we know we belong to the truth, and how we set our heart at rest in his presence. Whenever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Dear friend, if our heart do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, especially when you cry out to God in prayer, and receive from God anything we ask, because we obey his command and do what pleases him. Circle the word, pleases him. You know, if what you do pleases him, you are good to go, man. You are good to go. No matter what kind of situation you are in, he's going to help you. He's going to help you to solve all kind of problems. Verse 8 again. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, Jesus Christ is in heaven, his throne is in heaven, he is very, very rich. And yet, for your sake, Jesus Christ became poor, come down. When his mother, Mary, giving birth to him, there's no place in a hotel, only in a manger. It's because of that, so the shepherd can see that and be like, that's the Messiah. Yet for your sake, Jesus Christ became poor, so that you, through Jesus' poverty, might become rich. If you're willing to give, you follow the example of Jesus Christ. You say, Jesus, I follow your example. And just like the people in Jerusalem followed the example of Jesus in chapter 8, verse 9, I changed that. I changed a little bit. You hear what I say, okay? And I changed it in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to the church in Corinth, in Macedonia. Though, I make a mistake. I say that one more time. According to the Acts chapter 4 and 5, we know that the saints in Jerusalem, they are rich. They have house, they have land. They sow it for the sake of spreading the gospel, for the sake of preaching the gospel, and lay all their treasure in on the feet of the apostle, and allow them to spend as they please so as to advance the kingdom of God. When they sell everything, and now there's a great earthquake and a great famine, they don't have any cushion. They become poor. They were rich before in Jerusalem. And they become poor for the sake of the Gentile. Gentile including church in Macedonia, including church in Corinth. And now the Gentile church become rich. Should we not pay them back? Follow the example of Jesus Christ? I think we should. Verse 10. And here is my advice. I want to circle that. My advice. And I want to circle that. Chapter 8, verse 8. It's not a command. Okay? A pastor should not command the congregation to give. Because some people, they think that that kind of money is very important. They will stumble. Don't cause them to stumble. It's not a command, okay? It's advice. But you know, I found out the newer NIV translation, he didn't say it's my advice, he says it's my judgment. Oh, that you still have an old one, right? The new one is my judgment. Because Paul assessed the situation and realize what is good for you. Verse 10, here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Brother and sister, make sure as a parent, you give what's best for your children. So you give them advice. Make sure if you are leading Bible study, you give the best to the audience. What is best for them? Here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter of giving, the grace of giving. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Circle the word. Just having the desire to do so is not good enough. I decide to do this. I decide to do that. I want to do this. I will to do this. Right beside desire, you write down Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It is God who is at work in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Brother and sister, God not only work in you so that you have a desire to do that. God is work in you so that you can add on to it and complete it. You know, a lot of people, you know, when I say to brother and sister, they don't believe in me. When they study engineering first year, they fooling around and they get flung out. Okay? Because they thought that it's just university, just like high school. You know what? You go to university, the professor not going to call your name to see whether you attend the classes. You can skip class if you want. But during the quiz and during the exam, you're going to flunk. And after the first semester, you're going to drop out. Brother and sister, make sure. You not just say, oh, I want to study engineering, and then don't put an effort to it. You want to get this, put an effort to it. Be an overcomer. Okay? You want to be successful in your career, you have to have professional development. You know? I just cannot imagine. When I studied engineering, I remember I studied civil engineering because the first 3 years is all general. We all have to study electrical. I remember I studied in the third year the tube, you know? And now the what you call even the monitor, they don't have tube, they're flat panel. You go, I'm expert in tube, okay? You'll be unemployed, right? Oh, I'm expert in MP3. They don't. Do you have MP3 now, Moses? You say, what is this? You know, you say, right? Huh? Is it okay? You know? So I think, you know, when the iPhone come out, MP3 is gone, right? Brother and sister, make sure you don't be lazy in your own career. Professional development. Okay? For it is God who work in you. Not only have a desire to do this, because I want to get that blessing, but you have to do it. Okay? According to his good purpose. When you do things that according to God's good purpose, you're going to get blessing. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it. Prove your faith by your action. Prove your desire by your deeds. Prove your will by your action. When you do it, you will be blessed. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your mean. That's another principle of giving. Don't give what you don't have. Listen to me. When I watch the TV evangelists and asking the audience to give, they say, this is the phone number, call this number, bring your credit card. Listen to me. You don't give God's gift using credit card. Because credit card, you may not have it. Don't listen to that pastor say, oh, when you give it, you know, the Lord will bless you. And next month, you will have the money to pay the credit card. You don't have the money to pay the credit card. How many percent? 24% interest? Listen to me. You don't give God's money. You don't give offering to God. That is fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to Him by credit card. You give according to your means. You don't have the money, you don't give. Everybody say, that is God's word. Don't listen to them. I listen to Paul. Give according to your means. You don't have that, you don't give. Okay, keep going. There's another principle. Not only give according to your mean, you give according to your willingness. No one commanded you. No one forced you. Out of your willingness. Verse 12, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. Circle the word acceptable. You remember I told you, chapter 4, verse 19, you remember that? Chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, book of Philippians, right? Fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, and pleasing to God. Make sure you give according to your mean. Make sure when you give, nobody force you. You give out of your willingness. Same as when you believe in Jesus Christ, no one forcing you. You don't want to believe. You don't have to believe, right? Because you just face the consequences, right? No one forcing you. Oh, because my father wants me to come to the church, I come to the church. You're not listening to anything anyway, right? Don't do that. You do it out of your willingness. Because you do it out of your willingness, it is pleasing to God, acceptable to God, it becomes a fragrant offering. Okay? For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. You don't have it, you don't give. When you have it, you give. Verse 13, our desire, asking you to give, is not that other may be relieved while you are hard-pressed. Paul now asking the saint in Corinth to give back to the saint in Jerusalem. Not that Paul want the people in Jerusalem to be relieved and then the people in Corinth are hard-pressed. No, that's not what Paul means. But that there may be equality. Circle the word equality. What do you mean by equality? Right beside equality, I want you to write that down. Instead of a period, you write colon. What is equality? Verse 14 is equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need. So that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Wow, that encouraged me to give. Sometimes when I give, I'm afraid I don't have it when I'm in need. Don't worry. Your plenty, if you're willing to give, God going to remember what you have done. So that's why God raised up a prophet, sent him to the church in Antioch, and encouraged the headquarters of the Gentile church in the book of Acts. Make sure you people collect the offering and give them back to the saint in Jerusalem. Because in their plenty, in chapter 4 and chapter 5, they give to you so that the gospel advance to you, so the preacher come to your place and share the gospel. And now they are in need, you pay them back. That is equality. Does it make sense? If God is a God of just and fair, I give out of what I have. I give out of my willingness. Now I'm in need. I'm going to bow down and God, you say, you are God of just and fair. And you say that giving is an action of equality. Now I'm in need. You move them to give me back. When you pray like that, you realize God answered your prayer. Your prayer is powerful and effective. You don't read the scripture and then you pray and then you stumble. You make sure you read the scripture, understand it, and then you pray according to his God promises. And you know you're going to taste the goodness of the Lord. And he's going to show you the sign of his goodness to you. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. You write down Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5. And now, God provide them. The saint in Jerusalem did not cry out to Gentile church, pay us back. The preacher will do it. First of all, the prophet did it, and then Paul did it. He go to various churches and ask them to do that. Because that is equality. And you keep going. Verse 15. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much. And he who gathered little do not have too little. That's true. You know, you are just like what Jesus said. You know, when you give to the poor, you are not losing it. You are just putting a deposit in the most secure bank. You know what I mean? When you need the money, you're going to draw it out. You're going to cry out to God, I did my part. And prove what you promise is faithful. Prove it to me. Remember I give you the example when I was an engineer, I go to a leverage to stay there overnight. I don't know why I go there, okay? That all I know is when I sleep in the couch, and you know his couch is in the living room, and then the kitchen is right beside. At night I smell I smell the, what was that? I don't even know. I guess, yeah. You know, it's like rotten egg. I said, what is that? You know what I mean? And how can someone bath so powerfully, you know? I get up, I look around, I say, oh, I find out the gas range need to be replaced. Next morning, we left that place. I don't say anything. At that time, there's a store called Sear. I order a gas range, brand new one, and ask the Sear to deliver to the leverage. And I don't know how much I pay for it. It's a long time ago. When I become a pastor, when I become a seminary student at New York, that widow, that elderly lady, realized that I'm a preacher in New York. Somehow, she found my address and sent me a money order, $100 Canadian money order. I take to the bank. The bank say, what is this? Canadian. They're so arrogant, you know what I mean? They don't take Canadian. So I send them back. And lo and behold, a few weeks later, I receive a money order, $100 US. Oh, man. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, I didn't ask for money, okay? Listen to me, I didn't ask for it. And somehow the Lord moved her. Every year, give me $100. When you add that up, it's more than what I give. Is that equality, Moses? All these Bible verses I experienced myself. I taste it. I know the Lord is good. You don't know when you are in need. You are plenty now. You don't know that. Okay? Time will come. So we learned that lesson too, brother and sister. In our church, when we have money in our church, the brother and sister who offer to the church, when they face calamity and without money, our church should pay them back and help them out. That is equality. Okay? And then verse 16 to 24. 16 to 24 tell us that when you collect money, you have to collect money with integrity, with people of integrity. Don't use untrustworthy person to do it. Verse 16. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. Wow, really, Titus is really a good co-worker of Paul. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. When Paul appealed to Titus, say, I think because you started the job in Corinth, I pray that, you know, you can go there to finish it, to collect the money. And Titus, eager to do it on his own initiative and with much enthusiasm. And that's good. And that's how we should do. Same as giving. We should give it with our willing heart, with our enthusiasm, and on our own initiative. Not people forcing us. We just take the advice. We think it's best for us, we just do it. I want to see how good it is. Verse 18. And we are sending along with Titus, the brother. Right beside Titus, you write down number two, because Paul is going there. So Paul's number one, Titus number two, and verse 18, the brother, you write down number three. And we are sending along with Titus, the brother, who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. Use the faithful servant of God to collect the money. And what is more, this person, this brother of ours, was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering. which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. As a servant of God, Paul, as a servant of God, Titus, as a servant of God, this brother, they have to do things to honor God and to show their eagerness to help, to collect the money, not by compulsion, not by command. Collecting the money is not by command. Giving the money is not by command. Out of your willingness to do it. Okay? And then verse 20, we want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer these liberal gifts. For we are taking pain to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. A certain principle you have to follow. You don't go and collect the money by yourself. You go and collect the money by more than two or three people. In here, we see that so far, three people. Later on, we see that one more, totally four people. And all these people are chosen not by you. Because, oh, John M., this is your friend. I don't know how much you know you have taken out of the purse. Judah betrayed Jesus because he took the money out of the purse. And when people looking after that, that's no good. Has to have three to four people. And all these people are not chosen by Paul. He's chosen by the church. And they have been tested by the church. That they are trustworthy people. These are the principles we follow so that whatever we do, we honor the Lord. Okay? Circle the word 19. To honor the Lord himself. Okay? And to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. For we are taking pain to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of all churches. They know that the money they collect will be sent to Jerusalem. Exact amount. Verse 22. In addition, we are sending with them our brother. I say that one more time. If you are the pastor, you're asking to collect the money, make sure you don't take the money. Ask other people to do it. And select it by the churches. They are trustworthy. Do it this way. So that we honor the Lord. So that won't cause people to stumble. Lead us not into temptation. Verse 21, in addition, Paul coming, Titus coming, and the brother coming, verse 18, now 22, the fourth coming, okay? In addition, we are sending with them our brother, you write that down, number four, who has often proved to us in many ways, he is zealous, and now even more because of his great confidence in you. You know, you don't send brother and sister to go to the church to collect money, then they have no desire to give, and they have no action to do it. They're not going to come, because they don't want to force people to give. The reason why they're eager to come, because they know that you are eager to give. Besides, they're not taking the money to his own pocket, taking the money to give to the church in Jerusalem. Verse 23, as for Titus, he is my partner, fellow worker among you. As for our brother, you write that down. Number 18, that brother. Number 22, that brother. As for our brother, they are representative of the churches. Selected by the churches, not by you, nor by Titus, by the congregation. And they are an honor to Christ. They are an honor to Christ. Verse 24, therefore, show these four men, the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches may see that. Our Heavenly Father, I pray when we study your scripture, we know what is counterfeit, what is genuine. We find out that a lot of preachers in the TV, They encourage people to give up their credit card and deceive them. We don't give this way. We give according to what we have. We give out of our willingness and eagerness to do. And that is our desire. And prove that desire with an action. And we know that it is God who is at work in us. It's not a command. Because for our own best, so that we can get a lot more blessing. And help us to remember that when we collect the offering, make sure we do it correctly to the honor of God. And help us to remember that when we do things according to your way, your name will be honored, will be praised, and that offering will become a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifices and pleasing to you. And my God will meet all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy, and I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.